everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
He is a widely respected and award-winning theologian, Fox News contributor, and best-selling author of over 24 books, his latest and soon to be released, A Place Called Heaven, 10 Surprising Truths About Your Eternal Home. He is also a nationally syndicated radio and television host of the immensely popular Pathway to Victory, heard daily on over 930 stations and weekly via television on thousands of cable and satellite networks, including TBN and Daystar, and in over 200 countries and counting. And if this were not enough, ladies and gentlemen, add to this frequent guest and commentator on major media outlets, including Hannity, Fox and Friends, Judge Jeanine, and yes, even HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, just to name a few, boldly expounding biblical truths, some of which we will hear today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome, a great honor indeed, senior pastor of the renowned 13,000-member First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, Dr. Robert Jeffries. Dr. Jeffries, welcome to Testimony.
Well, it's an honor to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, Dr. Jeffries, we first met at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville in 2016, but now seems the time to bring your voice to testimony for part one of our two-part conversation today. Before we begin, would you just share with our listeners how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, and then let's segue into what you are doing today, most notably your stance in defense of President Trump and our nation, practically, spiritually, and in every way. Pastor Jeffries, please tell us your story.
Well, I actually grew up in the church that I now pastor, the First Baptist Church of Dallas. And it was interesting how I even ended up here. My parents are both in heaven right now. My dad was saved when he was in World War II, and he was saved through the witness of an Assembly of God chaplain. And that he asked the chaplain, I'm moving to Dallas. He said, where should I go to church? And the chaplain said, well, there's only one place to go to church in Dallas. It's the First Baptist Church of Dallas. And so my dad was here. My mom wasn't yet a Christian. He tried to witness to her and bring her to church. He had no interest in it at all. And one day, Billy Graham came to Dallas to do a crusade at the Cotton Bowl, and he got her to go to that, and she was saved at the Cotton Bowl. And they announced that Billy Graham would be preaching the next Sunday at the First Baptist Church in Dallas. So she agreed to come. And she was up in the balcony with my dad, and when Billy Graham finished his sermon, he stood down from the pulpit, came down, took the pastor's hand, and put his membership here in First Baptist Church, Dallas. My mom looked at my dad and said, well, if it's good enough for Billy Graham, it's good enough for me. And she joined our church that day as well. And a year later, I was born and grew up here in the church as well. So when I was 5 years old, I felt the conviction that I needed to become a Christian. And my dad brought me with him to meet with our pastor, Dr. Criswell, who was pastor here for 50 years. And when I was 5 years old, I trusted in Christ as my Savior. And, you know, I believe, Jensine, one of the big mistakes parents make with children is discouraging them from becoming Christians at an early age. We think that children need to be more like adults to be saved. Jesus said the opposite. Adults need to become like children to be saved. And that's why we have a vibrant children's ministry here at First Baptist Dallas, introducing children to faith in Christ. But that's how I became a Christian, and I grew up in the church and was called to the ministry when I was 16 years of age.
Wow, amen and amen. And the importance of seed being sown early, as you just alluded to, in a child's life, that certainly is evidenced in your own. First question, how important is it for Christians to engage politically? And why did you choose to speak out in defense and in support of now President Donald J. Trump?
Well, there is an erroneous teaching that has gained popularity in Christian circles that says, basically, we need to give up on the culture. The culture is too far gone. In fact, there's a theology called the Benedict option that says, as Christians, we need to adopt the philosophy of Saint Benedict, a Catholic priest who basically said, Christians just need to get in their holy huddles, speak to one another, encourage one another, and hope something bad doesn't happen to them. That is just completely opposite of what I find in the Word of God. I don't believe we as Christians are to surrender one square inch of this earth to Satan. You know, God is sovereign, not just over the church, but of all of the world, including the government. And I believe God cares about what happens in government. I believe that we as Christians are to be, as Jesus said, salt and light. You know, in Jesus' day, salt was a preservative. It didn't prevent the decay of meat, but it delayed the decay of meat. It gave the meat a longer shelf life. And in the same way, as Christians, we are to push back against evil in this society so that we have longer to share the light, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I happen to believe God does care about issues like religious liberty. I believe God cares about millions of children being murdered through abortion. I believe God cares about traditional marriage. I think he cares about these things. I think he cares about government because God is the one who instituted government, just as he instituted the church and the family as well. And so I don't think it's right to give up on government. I think we ought to use whatever influence we can to help government to maintain godly standards. Several weeks ago, I had the opportunity to introduce President Trump at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. And in my introduction, I reminded that secular audience, as well as a religious audience, of the truth of Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You know, God is not a respecter of people or nations. Any nation that reverences God and respects his word will be blessed by God, and any nation, including the United States, that rejects God and his word will be rejected by God. And look, the reason I supported President Trump is very clear. In the 2016 election, there was only one pro-religious liberty, pro-life, pro-conservative justices on the Supreme Court candidate, and that candidate's name was not Hillary Clinton. The name of the candidate was Donald Trump, and that's why I enthusiastically supported them and continue to support President Trump.
Amen and amen. Well said, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Dr. Robert Jeffress, senior pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas and author of his latest must-read, A Place Called Heaven, which we will be getting more into in our second segment. The left-wing liberal media, Dr. Jeffress, seems intent on destroying Trump, his administration, and or anyone who casts a vote of support in his direction. You have given your thoughts in part. So the next question really is now, are you disappointed in the lack of Republican support to help Trump enact legislation that will move our country forward? Your thoughts?
Well, I think there is a conspiracy, not just of Democrats, but of the media, Republican establishment types, as well as some very misdirected Christians who are going to do everything they can to take this president down. And in doing so, what they're doing is they're preventing this president from enacting a very conservative agenda that he has for America. And look, I don't agree with every position of this administration on every issue, but again, they are solid, they are resolute that they are going to appoint conservative Supreme Court justices and federal judges that could change the course of this country for decades to come. I was just recently with the administration officials in Washington last week, and I asked this question. I said, are you ready to make a bedrock commitment that every Supreme Court justice you have the opportunity to nominate will be just as conservative as Justice Gorsuch is? And they said, without a doubt, you have our commitment on that. That alone could change the direction of our country for many decades to come. But there are some who are hell-bent on seeing that does not happen, and that's why we need to call out those who are obstructing this conservative agenda. Let me give you one example of that. This administration has already made more than 23 nominations to federal judgeships, all of whom are conservative, but only two have been confirmed of the 23. And who is it that is holding it up? It's not the Democrats, it's the Republican leadership. The Senate Judiciary Committee, under the direction of Chuck Grassley, is paralyzed. They are following these arcane Senate traditions like the blue slip provision that is keeping these nominees from being confirmed. And I think it is time for Christians to rise up and raise holy you-know-what and say, we didn't elect senators to be president. We elected a president, and we want conservative judges placed on the federal benches and in the Supreme Court.
Amen and amen. You wrote in another one of your books, The Divine Defense. Can you briefly talk about that and what, as Christians, is our divine defense in helping to push forward what you just talked about?
Well, that book is a book actually about spiritual warfare. You know, we are all in a struggle, but Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, our struggle ultimately is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the unseen forces of darkness in the heavenly places. I mean, we are in a spiritual war, and that's why I've said to a group of conservative leaders just last week, this struggle that is going on in Washington, D.C., is not a struggle between Republicans and Democrats or liberals and conservatives. Ultimately, it's a struggle between good and evil, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And look, I understand there are some issues that Christians have a diversity of opinion about. For example, health care. You can be a Christian and have a different view of what the government's role of health care should be, but when it comes to basic issues like morality, or basic issues about the right of the unborn to live without being murdered in the womb, these are non-negotiables. And the battle over abortion, for example, that is a spiritual battle between the kingdom of God and kingdom of Satan, and we need to understand that. So yes, we push back, yes, we do what we can do, but we also need to realize this is a spiritual battle.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Dr. Robert Jeffress, Senior Pastor of First Baptist in Dallas, syndicated radio and TV host of the immensely popular Pathway to Victory, and best-selling author of multiple books, his latest, A Place Called Heaven, 10 Surprising Truths About Your Eternal Home. You can learn more about Dr. Jeffress' work, ministry, and mission by visiting firstdallas.org. You will be blessed you did. Dr. Jeffress, it has been an absolute honor having you share just a little of your own story and the impact you are having as a Christian leader, educator, commentator, and pastor. Your bold stance in defense of our Judeo-Christian beliefs is an example for us all. I'm reminded of the scripture, quote, "The righteous are as bold as a lion," Proverbs 28:1. You are certainly that, and so much more. We look forward to hearing much more next week. God bless you.
Thank you for having me.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.
He is the senior pastor of the renowned 13,000-member First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, widely sought-after commentator, and Fox News contributor, as well as best-selling author of over 24 books, his latest, A Place Called Heaven, 10 Surprising Truths About Your Eternal Home, which we will talk about today. His daily radio program, Pathway to Victory, can be heard on over 930 radio stations, and his weekly television show of the same name can be seen in over 200 countries, including China, through Daystar, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, and throughout the world on over 11,000 cable and satellite systems. And if this were not enough, ladies and gentlemen, my next guest has just completed a $135 million recreation of its downtown campus, the largest in modern church history, and will serve as a, quote, spiritual oasis, a welcome respite, indeed. Dr. Robert Jeffress is also a husband and father to his beautiful bride, Amy, and their two daughters, Julia and Dorothy, and son-in-law, Ryan. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome back to Testimony, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Dr. Jeffress, welcome back to Testimony.
Well, thanks for having me back.
Well, it's an honor to have you, sir. Last week you shared a little of your own story, how you have become arguably one of the nation's most respected evangelicals and outspoken voices for biblical values in support of President Trump and amidst an increasingly, quote, wicked and perverse generation, as the Bible states. For this segment and first question, how do we as Christians handle the barrage of left-wing media bias, and better yet, find a way to positively move forward, since as your new book, A Place Called Heaven, declares, we as Christ followers will all one day be?
Well, you know, I think it's a great question, and I think what we have to understand is that as Christians, we really live in two worlds at the same time. You know, the Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. That's our ultimate destination, and that's what I talked about in my book, A Place Called Heaven. And even though we're going to be there for eternity, it's amazing how little most Christians know about heaven. But at the same time, God has us here on earth for a reason. And we're living in two worlds with two very real responsibilities. And you always hear about that old saying about, oh, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. I've never found anybody like that. Most people I know, most Christians, the problem is not that they think too much about heaven, but they think too little about it. Here's the truth. C.S. Lewis said, history has shown it is the ones who think most about the next world who do most to affect positive change in this world. And I do think as Christians we have a responsibility in this world not to pull our cover over our heads and hope nothing bad happens to us. We're to be actively engaged in trying to redeem the world, not in a salvation sense, but we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think as Christians, we are to be pushing back against evil. We're to be involved in the government. We're to call out unrighteous people to righteousness. You know, there's this thinking that says the only message that Christians have a right to proclaim to unbelievers is the message of salvation. I don't believe that. I think we as Christians are to stand up and confront ungodly leaders and an ungodly culture and say without stuttering or stammering, thus saith the Lord. And one way we do that is through the leaders we elect. You know, John Jay was the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He was a Christian. This first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court said, in this Christian nation, God has given us the privilege and the responsibility of preferring and selecting Christians as our leaders. John Jay understood the importance of Christians voting for those who uphold biblical values. And that's why, frankly, I think the culture has gotten into the shape it's in is not because of non-Christians. It's because of Christians who have fallen asleep at the wheel. They have forgotten that God has left us here in this world for a reason.
Amen. How important, then, is daily obedience and the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfilling our heavenly reward?
Well, I think it's absolutely essential. And I think, you know, I think we need to be balanced in our approach. I mean, the ultimate solution for America's problem isn't going to come from Washington, D.C. It's going to come from the Church of Jesus Christ. And I think it's every Christian being energized by the Spirit, doing his job of sharing the gospel with as many people as possible. That's the ultimate solution. that doesn't mean we're not to be involved in politics as well. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 5, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. Salt, as we talked about last time, was a preservative for meat. It didn't prevent the meat from decaying, but it delayed the decay. It gave the meat a longer shelf life. But light has an altogether different function. It pierces the darkness. And in the same way, Jesus said, yes, as Christians, my representatives, push back against evil. I think we're to push back against abortion. We're to push back against encroachment on religious liberty. We're to try to delay the ultimate collapse of this world so that we have longer to be light and share the eternal message of salvation through Jesus Christ. And Jinsane, it's not either or, it's both and. And I think that's where Christians really mess up. They're either all politics and no gospel, or they're all gospel and no politics. We're to be involved in both.
Amen and amen. Now, you mention in your book 10 surprising truths about heaven. Can you expound on just two of them?
Right. I answer in this book, A Place Called Heaven, 10 of the most frequently asked questions about heaven. One question that people have is, you know, is heaven a real place or is it simply a state of mind? And Jesus said in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That word place, topos in Greek, means a geographical location. Right now, Jesus is preparing this ultimate place for our eternal destiny, this place called heaven. But here's what many people don't understand, and that is that ultimately that heaven that Jesus is preparing for us is going to come back to this newly recreated earth. And our ultimate place of dwelling is not going to be floating around in the atmosphere up somewhere. It's going to be right here on the earth. God recreates in the form that he originally meant that to be. And I think that's a surprising and comforting truth. The heaven that we experience will be the heaven on earth in its original form. The other question, and I talk about 10 of them, but one question people are fascinated by is, will heaven be the same for everybody? And the answer is no. There are degrees of heaven, just as there are degrees of hell, based on our faithfulness to Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10 says, we are all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us, that is Christians, may be rewarded for what we've done in the body, whether it be good or worthless. The Greek word phallus, worthless. The judgment we face as Christians is not one of condemnation for our sins. Those sins have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. But it is a judgment of commendation of rewards. And based on how we spend this brief time we have on earth, we are going to be rewarded eternally in heaven. Some people will be given responsibility over cities, some over nations, some over worlds, some over galaxies, based on our faithfulness to Christ in this life.
Amen and amen. And that should be of great encouragement and motivation.
Well, that's right. I mean, we're all going to stand before this evaluation before Christ. And, you know, these rewards, they're very real. They're worth working for. You know, it may be special praise from the master. Well done, good and faithful servant. Just think about an encouraging word you heard one time from your father or mother or an employer and how much that meant to you. Just imagine God looking at you and saying, well done. There's going to be special praise. There are going to be special privileges in heaven. I don't understand what that means, but the Bible talks about special access to the tree of life and so forth. And then there are going to be special responsibilities in heaven. But whatever these rewards are, they are worth sacrificing for. And, you know, everything we have in life right now, God has entrusted to us, whether it's our money, our jobs, our talents, our gifts. They are something that God gives to us, not just to further his kingdom, but as a test of our faithfulness. I preached just this week from Luke chapter 19, the parable of the minas, the money that was given to slaves before the master went on a journey. And when he came back, he asked each one to give an account with what he had done with the money. And you know, Hudson Taylor said one time, a little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in a little thing is a big thing. What we have, the money we have, the talent, all of these things are little things compared to eternity. But how we use these few years we have on earth, how we use the money God has entrusted to us, is a big thing when it comes to our faithfulness. And how we use these little things will affect our eternity.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Pastor Robert Jeffress, author of his latest must-read, A Place Called Heaven. Pastor, in our remaining moments, you mentioned six things about what we can do to prepare ourselves. Can you talk about just one of those?
Well, the most important thing for our journey to heaven is to make sure we have the right passport. I mean, just imagine you were going to a foreign country. The first thing you want to be sure is, once you leave this country, is you have a passport that will allow you entry into that foreign country. And there is only one passport that will allow us entrance into heaven. It's not our good works. It's not our church membership. It's not our baptism. It is our faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And the most important thing we can do to prepare for that inevitable journey we all take after death and make sure we arrive in heaven is to make sure that we have trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Dr. Robert Jeffress, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, syndicated radio and TV host of the immensely popular Pathway to Victory, and best-selling author of multiple books, his latest, A Place Called Heaven. You can learn more about Dr. Jeffress' work, ministry, and mission by visiting firstdallas.org and get involved, get educated. You will be blessed you did. Dr. Jeffress, thank you once again for sharing just a little of your story and what we can all look forward to as believers in Jesus Christ. Your latest, A Place Called Heaven, explains it, and beautifully so. Yet, while on this earth, the mandate is clear. Uphold the name of Jesus Christ to an increasingly wicked and perverse generation, and yes, uphold the constitutional values on which our great nation was built, godly values that have no term limits, only eternal rewards. We thank you, and God bless you for your faithfulness in upholding both.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.